Welcome to the Glasgow Short Film Festival 2021 podcast. I'm Sana Yahul, the festival's co-director, and on behalf of our entire team, thank you for listening. Named in honour of one of Scotland's greatest filmmakers, the Bill Douglas Award for International Short Film was inaugurated at GSFF in 2012 by Bill's lifelong friend and collaborator, Peter Jewell. Each year, a jury of filmmakers and film curators chooses a film from our international selection that best reflects the qualities found in the work of Bill Douglas. Honesty, formal innovation, and the supremacy of image and sound in cinematic storytelling. To celebrate the award's 10th anniversary this year, we checked in with all previous winners. In this episode, we present a conversation between Finnish documentary filmmaker Laura Rantanen, who won the 2019 Bill Douglas Award with her film Liminality and Communitas, and one of that year's jury members, French multimedia artist and visual arts teacher Pamela Pienetsa. In Liminality and Communitas, we see a man walking the motorway verges to gather roadkill. The film is a quiet investigation of the border between life and death and the edges of the man-made world. You can watch Liminality and Communitas on our screening platform during the entire festival week, along with all our previous Bill Douglas Award winners. And now, enjoy the episode, and hopefully see you online at GSFF 21.
Onko se oikein syödä kenenkään sydän?
On. Siinäpä kysymys.
Niinpä. Tätä mä mietin nyt, kun mä syön. Ui, meni nyt suolaan vähän liikaa. Tässä on semmoinen vähän villimaku.
Riista.
Niin no.
Vielä sitä meinaatte ottaa se oraa.
Tossa se menis. Ei se paljon vaadi, kun se siinä kypsentyy. Se saattaisi haastaa varista kyllä.
How does it feel to watch again and talk again about this film that you made a few years ago now, and I think it was your graduation film? How does it feel?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I am a bit nervous because it was made a few years ago, as you said. But it's been a while. We started doing it already in 2016. It was finished in 2018, and now it's 2021. Yeah, so it was my graduation film, or not only mine, but the whole crew graduated with it when we were doing our bachelor degree in Aalto University in the Department of Film.
Wow, it was very funny for me too to watch the film again, because it brought me back to Glasgow, and it at that time it had been a very great experience with my fellow jury members Jacopo and Shalimar. So just watching the film brought me back there, which was a very nice feeling, like traveling, even if we're stuck at home, obviously. So I read my notes from that time. I found my old notebook. And we were looking at that time when we asked Matt, the director, how do we know what we're looking for? And he said that we were looking for a film that best reflects the qualities found in the famous Scottish film director Bill Douglas' work. And we, the three of us, fell in love with your film right away. It wasn't a big fight, the jury decision. And I read what we wrote at the time about our jury statement. And we said that we loved how the film reveals itself gradually, playing with boundaries between fact and fiction, life and death, civilization and its margins. And we thought it found a beautiful balance between what we know and see and what we feel and guess. And I stand by what we said. That's still what I think. Let's talk about how we enter in the film, I think, before saying anything about it, because the sound appears before images. And then we enter this kind of almost sci-fi, post-apocalyptic atmosphere. So where are we? What do we see? What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, where should I start? So the first, as you said, the sound started. We hear some traffic sounds and then we see some traffic lights. But many people have interpreted the first image that it's a point of view of an animal, of a roadkill animal who is like run over by a car. And this is a very nice interpretation. As you spoke about this kind of apocalyptic feeling, this visual style or the audiovisual style try to represent the inner world of our protagonist. Like we were speaking about with the protagonist, with Tony, a lot about boundaries, like inner boundaries and cultural boundaries and norms and this kind of stuff, you know. So we kind of try to audiovisualize the feeling of space, you know, not having boundaries at all, you know, this kind of a void space. And then also about like very concrete barriers, like there are these bridge images where the world kind of ends super quickly, you know, or this is what we tried with what was the idea, that sometimes the world in visual language, sometimes the world never ends, like the space images, spaceless feeling, and sometimes it had a narrow feeling, like the world ends super quickly. So the audiovisual style came out from the conversations that we had with the protagonist, because we had an idea of having this kind of interview, like voiceover of Tony, of the guy that we are following, about his philosophy and his way of life and stuff like that. But as the process went on, we felt like, okay, maybe we can just trust on the sound and the image, and maybe we are able to create his mental space audiovisually. And as you spoke about this kind of apocalyptic feeling, it is true. We were kind of trying to represent that. I have a background in anthropology. Before I started to study film, I studied anthropology and I did my thesis in survivalism, which is like preppers, people who try to prepare to the collapse of the society. And through this study, I found out about this roadkill stuff, that some of them did eat roadkills. So I get interested in that. It's not a subculture, at least in Finland. I don't know, maybe it is. I think it's more like individuals who are doing that. But yeah, so I had this background and I had been thinking a lot about, or I had had so many conversations about the collapse of capitalism and this kind of stuff when I was doing my other studies. And so we were thinking a lot if capitalism would end or something like this. What would be the use for the highways and this kind of stuff? So I'm happy if it came, if these conversations that we had came out from the film.
It's very interesting, and I love this idea of reflecting the inner world of the I was about to say the main character. He's not a character. He's a real. But I love that idea, and I'm very glad that there was no voiceover. I imagine that this idea of reflecting his inner world is also explained the way you work with music, because there is very few, just a few touches, but it's so intense. And I think it's like the cello, the double bass, and maybe alto violin or something. And how did you think about the music? It's really tiny touches.
Yeah, well, the music is composed by Tuomas Kettunen, who studied at the time composing in the Sibelius Academy, which is a music school here in Helsinki. And we did a course together, like film music. And yeah, to be honest, I think there is a lot to thank Tuomas about the soundtrack. With Tuomas, we had a lot of conversations about these themes that I already talked about. And we kind of wanted to, how can I say, rise up the audiovisual, or I mean, like, if you are making a film about road kills, you know, they are usually considered as trash, and this is like very marginal thing to do to utilize them. So we, for us, it was very important that it has this kind of holy is the only word that comes to my mind. In Finnish, I have another word in my mind, but I don't know how you say it in English. But we wanted to have this kind of a bit like a holy feeling in it, like we were trying to find ways how to show respect to these animals who are passed away, and how to kind of elaborate, or how to make our protagonist way of behavior something respectful. And then it was also important to have a little bit organic feeling in the music, as you said, that that we use like real instruments and stuff like that, to have an organic feeling in it as well.
Yeah, and I think it's helping the film to be divided in like three times. At least that's how I understood it. Like the first part is like gives us a sense of space and playing with time and silence. Then the second part, we have like the first human being. He could be the first human being on Earth for what we know. And he's very mysterious. We are following him gathering roadkills from the edges of the highway, but we are not exactly sure what he's doing. And then in the third and last part of the film, there is finally the community. And instead of this cold artificial light, urban lighting, we have the fire and community around the fire. And finally, voices. That's where the voices appear. How did you think of this three times and how to bring this lonely character into something more lively?
Yes, this structure came out of during the editing period, to be honest, because the structure when I was kind of writing the film was a bit different. We had like day and night, these two opposites that we played with, and we had an idea of showing the day as this kind of a bit aggressive and machine-like base. That we see a lot of like traffic and overexposed traffic lights and this kind of stuff, kind of so the machine that produces the road kills, you know. And then we have the night that is more open, there is more space, and like during then you are able to walk freely, or we see the protagonist going from the mainstream to the marginal, like all the time while he is walking in the highways. So we kind of wanted to show that this is possible during the nighttime. So this was the initial idea of the structure of the film, to have this day and night dialogue. But then we decided to give up from the day, because there was more unity when we stayed only in the nighttime. And as you said, if you had the feeling that the person, when he comes to the picture, he might be the first person or the last person on Earth. And this is, I like that you get this feeling. And we were a little bit struggling with that, meaning that how to, because in some point during the editing, he looked like a ghost. You know, so yeah, so is he a dead person also, you know? So it was a lot about, thanks to our sound designer Jonatar Turkki, he was able to give presence to him, you know, he made foleys to him, so to give this kind of bodily presence to the person and not to make him feel like a ghost. And then also this, you were speaking about that, or in the end we see the community, and this is something that we also, this scene we filmed during the editing period, because the first version was that Toni, it was very important to show that he has his community, he is not alone with his way of life, but his way of life is supported by many people. So then we asked his neighbors to come and share a meal with him, and then we were able to bring this community feeling to it as well.
But I think it was a very smart move to keep it at night, because it gives a very different stronger sense of atmosphere, I think. And this last dinner with the community, it's pretty amazing, because basically the whole film has been pretty silent, and the first voices that we hear are raising some kind of almost philosophical question, with one character asking, "Is it right to eat someone's heart?" And the other one replying, "That's the question." So the first voices we hear are, so when we were talking about an apocalyptic feeling, here we are.
Yeah, and this is, as you mentioned earlier, that it's kind of playing in between documentary and fiction, or not fiction. I just wanted to say that this is a dialogue that came spontaneously. It's not a dialogue that I asked them to speak out. You know, so this was important for me to say aloud.
And you haven't said anything about the title, by the way. Could you explain the title?
To be honest, if I could change something from the film, I would change the title. Like, this is the only thing I'm kind of regretting. We had hard time of finding the title. While I was writing the film, I had in my mind the title to be Existence, but it felt somehow like to something, I don't know. Then we had for a long time, we just called the film The Roadkills, but this also didn't feel nice, because we tried to make the roadkills to be metaphor maybe for something, and we didn't want to reveal what the film is about. It felt important that the story kind of goes on little by little. One day I was having a walk, and I was like, I needed to decide what the title is, because yeah, it was time to finish the piece. To be honest, I started to think about film names that I like a lot. I remember a film called Purity and Danger. It's a very nice name for a film, because it handles sex work. And I felt like this title is exactly about what the film is about, without saying what this film is about, okay? And Purity and Danger is something that is very related to anthropology. And to be honest, it was this title of the film that make me think about Liminality and Communitas, Liminali and Communitas in Finnish, to be the title of the film. Liminal space, liminality, means like space in between two worlds. And communitas means society that does not have hierarchies, group of people who is not constructed by hierarchies. And these two terms has something to do with rituals, when a being changes from one form to another. So it came to me like, okay, this is what the film is about. It's about spaces in between. It's about how could we have communities that are not based on hierarchies. And then finally, how a being transforms itself from one stage to another. What happens when once a thing, a person or an animal once being alive is not alive anymore? It's such a strange, you know, existential thing. If I could change something, I might change the title, because I think it's kind of has this kind of a theoretical background, a lot of theoretical background in it. Yeah, this is the maybe only thing I'm in doubts about.
Okay. And what's next now? Is it a topic that you're still exploring in different ways? Are you, you made other films, I think, after this one, and what's next with you and your work?
Well, yeah, I finished a film a year ago, more or less. It was premiered a year ago, yeah. And it's a film about a phone call service, of this kind of a helpline for men, for young men, boys who are under 20 years old. So that's the latest piece I've done, but it's already 1 year old. And now I'm working on a film about removal books. Well, to be honest, they are destroyed, that books that come from libraries or secondhand shops or from private households. So I'm following the path of these books. But it's little bit, how can I say, we were planning to film it now this spring, but unfortunately, because of the pandemic, we are postponing it. This is the film I'm working on at the moment, but let's see when it's finished.
So still working at the border between anthropology and cinema. That's nice.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Before we finish, a few shout outs. Glasgow Short Film Festival is made possible thanks to the generous support of Screen Scotland and Film Hub Scotland. This podcast was produced for us by Helena Rifai, with music by Lewis den Hertog. We'd love to hear your responses to this episode and our festival programme, so get in touch. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at Glasgow Short. Enjoy the festival.